First Samuel chapter 15, grab your Bibles with me this morning. This morning, amen, I want to share with you a message I titled, Call Failed. Have you ever had a call fail? Thank you, worship team, amen. Go get your Bibles. This morning, what a beautiful presence of God, amen. What a beautiful presence of God, great job, worship team, amen. And I'm ready to preach, amen. I don't want to be too long. No, how many know when the Holy Spirit has His way, we just got to let the Holy Spirit have His way, amen? And, you know, but at the same time, the Holy Spirit says that you need to hear the Word, amen? So I want to share with you, amen, and I'm going to try, if I can't finish it, I'll finish it, you know, next time or some other time. But I want to share this message, amen, and I started preaching a few months back on 1 Samuel, and we were doing chapter by chapter, verse by verse, systematic preaching, and I kind of got away from it for a little bit. The Lord had put some other things upon my heart. And so I'm back here to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We ended up, last time I preached on 1 Samuel chapter 14, God's armor bearer. And so I want to just kind of skip over into in chapter 15 and look at Saul's life, King Saul. And what we're going to learn here today is that King Saul failed in his calling. My God. It is a very hard sometimes. It's nobody wants to hear a message on failure, but how many know that if we want to avoid it,
that's right.
Yeah. We gotta teach on it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So I want to share this with you here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Amen. Let's read the chapter. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over His people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord." This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death, men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. "Can I tell you what the Lord told me last night?" "I'm gonna." Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, Did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he set you on a mission, saying, he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy the wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king in your calling. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word, anoint it to our hearts. Lord, remove me to the side. God, I pray that you would speak through me. Let me be a vessel for you to flow through here this morning. Let me be your mouthpiece, God. God, I thank you for the privilege and the honor to share your most holy word here this morning. God, let every ear, let every heart be open to what your spirit has for us here this morning. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus, everybody says. Amen. You may be seated. Nobody wants to fail or to be a failure. Here we read about King Saul's failure. He failed in his calling to be king over Israel. Now, I failed in a lot of things. I failed in a lot of things in my past. But when I came to Christ, I stopped failing and I started to succeed. Man. I had failed as a father in my past. I had failed as a son, as a citizen, and even as a dope dealer. Come on, oh, come on, somebody. Because I got busted. Come on now. Huh? Some people, they think they're all bad. I'm a success. No, you got busted. You weren't successful. Come on, somebody. You weren't even a successful criminal because you got busted. Listen, I didn't come to God to fail. God didn't save me so that I could fail. God didn't save you so that you could fail. I want you to know that you and I have been called. But when God called us, he called us to succeed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He or Saul's call failed. Saul failed in his calling. He was called to be king, but he failed. It wasn't because of God that he failed. It wasn't because of God that he failed. If I fail as a pastor, it's not because of God, my friend.
Right.
God doesn't change his mind about him calling us.
Right.
God, the Bible says that his callings are irrevocable.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
The promises of God are yes and amen.
Right.
It's not God that changes his mind. It wasn't God that changed his mind. It was Saul that changed his mind.
Yeah.
It was Saul that changed. It was Saul that changed. Saul was a different man now than when he first got anointed to be king. At this time in chapter 15, we see a different Saul. He's not the same Saul that Samuel had anointed at the beginning. We studied that. I preached on it. I taught on it. How at the beginning, Saul was humble. Saul was meek. Saul looked at himself as a nobody, and he was a nobody, and God made him a somebody. That's what God does. He takes nobodies and makes them a somebody. He did that for Saul, but Saul squandered it. Saul ruined it. I'm not here to squander it. I'm not here to ruin it. I want to succeed in the calling of God. Is there anybody else here that wants to succeed in what God called them to do? I was a failure in the past, but it's a new season. It's a new day. God is doing a new thing in my life, and He's called me to succeed. I'm talking to some winners in this place. I'm talking to some people that God is about to raise up, that God is about to bless, that God is about to exalt, because you have humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, just like Saul at one time humbled himself. But in chapter 15, we see pride in Saul's life. Saul was a different man now than when he first got anointed to be king. They say that if you want to test a man's character, give him power. See, the power can either change him for the good, or sadly, many times it changes the person for the bad. Power has a way of changing an individual. And power changed Saul. It changed Saul. This is why some people sometimes, you know, you pray for a Corvette. You want a Corvette, right? Because you want to drive fast. You want to drive fast. You want to feel the power. Come on, somebody. I've driven a Corvette before. That thing has some power. But God won't bless you with that Corvette because you're going to kill yourself.
Come on now.
You're going to go 200 miles an hour down the highway and wreck yourself. See, power can either change a person for the good or for the bad. Saul allowed this power that God gave him to change him for the bad. Let's look this morning at three things that contributed to King Saul's failed call. The first thing is that contributed to his failed call was his disobedience. We read clearly that he did not obey the commands of the Lord. What did God tell him? Kill everything. Wipe everything out. Men, women, and even babies. Yep. Some people are like, oh man, that's God of the Old Testament. Come on now. Wipe everything out because they were a wicked people. And they did wickedness to the people of God. Listen, you don't touch God's anointed.
Hello.
Right. You don't touch God's anointed. Listen, when people try to mess with you, you ain't got to fight back. You just got to know that God got your back.
Right.
Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning.
Come on.
You ain't got to fight back because you got to know that God got your back. God's going to take care of your lightweight. God's going to take care of your... Why? Because you're taking care of His business. Why? Because you're His chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are the children of God. And these Amalekites had messed around with the children of God, and God is about to repay them for their evil. They took advantage of the children of God while they were vulnerable coming out of Egypt. They took advantage. God takes it serious when people take advantage of His children. This is why Jesus said, if anybody causes this little one to stumble, it is better for a millstone to be tied around his neck and for him to be tossed into the deep. Because you don't mess with his little ones. You don't mess with his children.
That's right.
We see here what contributed to Saul's failed calling was his disobedience, his rebellion. God gave Samuel clear, strict orders through the prophet Samuel. He gave him clear, strict orders to destroy everything, kill everybody. But what did he do? He spared the king. He spared the good sheep and the good ox and the good cows. He spared them. God told him, listen, you are to destroy them. He was disobedient to the command of God. And this is what contributed to his failed calling, Victory Outreach. If we're going to succeed in our calling, we have to learn to be obedient to God to the T. And listen, the way we do that is the way that Saul should have done it. He should have listened to the instructions of God through the prophet Samuel.
Yep.
Maybe that's why he took it lightly. Maybe that's why many take the advice of their spiritual leaders lightly even today. They say, well, God didn't tell me directly. See, pride wants to be told directly. Come on, somebody. A lot of times I tell people, hey, go tell so-and-so do this. Go tell so-and-so do this. Go tell so-and-so. I say, well, hey, you know, a lot of times they got to say, pastor said. Come on, somebody. Huh? But then their heart is like, well, pastor didn't tell me directly. Oh, come on now.
Come on now.
So listen, this is a problem that Saul ran into. Saul here, you know, he had a kind of problem because he got an order through the prophets. Here, God didn't tell King Saul directly either, but he used his spiritual leader to give him the commands. The order was to completely destroy everyone, adults, children, babies, cattle, sheep, everything, and everyone and everything also included the king. But we read that Saul didn't kill the king, nor the best of the cattle and the sheep. So what we see that Saul did is that he had partial obedience. He had partial obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience.
My.
I know this ain't a famous message.
Come on now.
This ain't a famous message. I know this ain't a feel-good message, but we'll get there. Come on, somebody. But Saul here committed partial obedience. And partial obedience, we learn from the scriptures, is disobedience.
Amen.
When we disobey God, we are telling God, I don't want you to rule over me. Saul was unfit to be king.
Right.
Unfit and unworthy to rule over man, those who are not willing that God should rule over them.
Ooh, come on now.
Wow.
If we're not willing, listen, don't, I don't want to be under a leader that is not willing to be ruled by God.
That's right, amen.
That leader is unfit. That leader is unworthy. But a leader that is willingly submits himself before God. We learned that yesterday in the midst of discipleship, the difference between obedience and submission. They're two different things, my friend. Obedience is conformity to the law. Submission is when we submit from the heart. A lot of times we can do it on the outward, but we're not doing it on the inward. And so therefore you're being obedient to the command, but your heart ain't really in it. And so therefore you're not submitting to the Lord.
Yeah.
Inside, you're really rebelling before God.
There it is.
What happens when we disobey God? Four things. First off, we forfeit God's favor on our lives. When we disobey God, we forfeit God's favor on our lives. Listen, we are a people of favor. We are a people that got the favor of God upon our lives. That's why you got that job, because you have favor upon your life, because you have the Spirit of God upon your life, because God looked upon you with favor, and you have favor upon your life. That's why you got married, because you have the favor of God upon your life, because she would have never married you, come on somebody, if it wasn't for God's favor upon your life. The Bible says, well, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing, so therefore you got favor upon your life. Listen, but whenever we disobey God, we forfeit the favor of God upon our lives.
Wow.
Saul was king because of the favor of God upon his life.
Come on.
And he forfeited it.
Wow.
I don't want to forfeit God's favor upon my life.
That's right.
Huh? Because favor will do things that money can't do.
Come on now. There it is.
Favor will get you into doors that you can't get into yourself.
Amen.
Favor is not fair, my friend. Favor is God's special hand. Favor is God's coat of many colors upon your life. Favor is what causes you to stand out to your boss. Favor is what causes you to stand out to your supervisor. Favor is what causes you to stand out in the world. Favor is what causes you to stand out. out amongst everybody else. You stand out and you get blessed. Why? Because of the favor of God upon your life. Why did Saul get chosen and everybody else got ignored? All the other men in Israel got ignored, but Saul got chosen. I'm going to tell you why. Because of the favor of God upon his life. And I'm here to tell you that Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, we got favor upon our life. Why did God give us this building? Because we got favor upon our life. Why did he give it to Victory Outreach Grand Prairie? Because we got favor upon our life. Why has he blessed you and saved you? Because of the favor of God upon your life. Don't forfeit God's favor that's upon your life. Because of disobedience, he forfeited it. The only reason Saul was king was because of God's favor. The only reason Sylvia married me, this beautiful woman right here, huh, is because of God's favor. That's the only reason. Huh? I pray, Lord, strike her with blindness. Come on, somebody. And he answered that prayer before I even came into the picture. That's why I like to take off your glasses, honey. I tell you, take off your glasses and look at me. Hello, somebody. Huh? Favor. She married me because of favor. The favor of God. Come on, somebody. Husbands, you got to know. She married you because of favor. Come on now. Listen, I'll just say it for you. And we don't look all that great. Come on now. Got a face only a mother can love. God's favor. She married me because of God's favor. Come on, somebody. I have God's favor upon our lives. Listen, the only reason I'm the pastor of this church is because of God's favor. I should be in prison right now. I should be dead right now. I shouldn't be there. But because of God's favor, I'm your pastor. Because of God's favor, you're here sitting with your family because of God's favor. You got that job because of God's favor. Many have forfeited their calling because of plain disobedience or partial disobedience.
Come on, that's heavy, right?
Have you ever had partial disobedience?
Come on.
It's like, I went to the streets, Lord, but you didn't go with your heart.
Oh.
I went to the streets, Lord, but you didn't pass out no flyers. I gave you the offering, but you didn't give your tithe.
Wow.
Oh, come on, somebody. God, and then all of a sudden we develop a partial obedience. The story is here so that we can learn from Saul's mistake, so that we don't repeat that same mistake, so that we can keep the favor of God upon our lives. Amen. I have favor. I have God's favor, yes, because of his grace. But it's the grace that has caused me to be obedient. It's because of God's grace that I'm able to be obedient. It's because of God's grace right. that you're able to be obedient. Right. You're here today because God said, wake up and get your butt to church. Hello, somebody. Yeah. That's why you're here. You're here because God said, get to church. And you were obedient, so you're here. Come on, somebody. You're here in church because you were obedient to God saying, get up and get to the house of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's God's grace that gives you the grace to wake up.
Yeah, right.
Because on our own power, we couldn't get up. On our own power, we'd rather be in front of Menudo. We'd rather be at Traders Village. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
In our own power, we'd rather be still in the bed right now. But it's the grace of God that gives you the power. God resurrects a lot of Lazarus every Sunday morning. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And you resurrect from the pillow. You resurrect from the bed. And you peel yourself up out. If you sleep on the couch, you peel yourself up on the couch. Hello, somebody. And you get dressed and you make it to the house of God. That is the grace of God.
Yeah.
Whenever we're disobedient, we forfeit God's favor in our lives. And then secondly, whenever we're disobedient, listen, you know what happens secondly? We get busted.
Hello.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? That's right. You get busted. Huh? Come on, listen, we weren't great criminals out there. Come on now. Huh? We got busted. Amen. We got busted with our hands in the cookie jar.
Hello.
You had chocolate chip all over your mustache. Come on, somebody. Huh? We got busted.
Yeah.
See, God exposes our disobedience when we're disobedient.
That's right.
You know why he does it? Because he loves you so much. And he exposes our disobedience. And verses 13 and 14, Saul in these verses lies to Samuel to try to cover up his disobedience to his leader, not knowing that God had already put Saul's mail in Samuel's mailbox.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. You know, sometimes that happens. God, he don't accidentally. He says, here's so-and-so's mail. Hello, somebody. And God had already spoken to Samuel about Saul that he disobeyed him. Funny how when you try to hide something or lie about something, but that something is like sticking out like a sore thumb. Saul, he says, when he sees Samuel coming, I've done everything, the Lord, and you asked me to do. Liar. Samuel. Busted.
Hello.
I just picture the picture. Just picture it with me. I've done everything you asked me to do, leader. Samuel, like, oh, excuse me, that was lunch. Samuel replies, what is this then bleating of sheep that I hear?
Wow.
What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Exposes.
Hello.
It's funny how when we try to hide our sin, it's just like sticking out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
It's like written all over your face.
Oh,
come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? It's like written all over our face, and we're trying to hide it. We're trying to keep from getting busted. But all of a sudden, God exposes. He exposes it. And I could just picture Saul's face when Samuel held him accountable with evidence.
Wow. Come on.
Listen, when you disobey God, you're not going to get away with it.
Come on. Right.
Pastor Jesse says it like this. If it doesn't come out in the rinse, it comes out in the wash.
Right.
Huh? Sometimes we think that we're going to get away with it. Sometimes because we have that old mentality still. We have that old mentality, man, I'm a thief, man, I can get away with anything.
Wow.
I'm a job, I'm a connive, I can get away. Listen, you can't get away with anything with God. Your sin, the Bible says your sin will find you out.
Yeah.
And when we disobey God, we forfeit God's favor and we get busted. And thirdly, we make excuses and blame others. Verse 15 says, he quickly comes up with a good excuse in verse 15. He quickly, how many know we're good? Come on, somebody. We're good at coming up with excuses real fast. Huh? You know what they say about excuses, right? We all have two of them and they both stink.
Hello.
Excuses. Huh? And here, Samuel started to blame others, and all of a sudden, this is what happens when we become disobedient. All of a sudden, we want to blame the pastor. All of a sudden, we want to blame the church. All of a sudden, we want to blame our sister. We want to blame the brother. We want to blame God.
Wow.
We begin to blame others, and we make excuses, and he quickly comes up. Samuel, he saw, quickly comes up with a good excuse. Sometimes we can make some good ones up. Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit it. Come on, somebody. I'll make up a good one real fast. Huh? And Saul was like, well, you see what had happened was. Don't be that what had happened was, brother. He said, we killed all the bad animals, but the good ones, he said, the people kept. The people, he didn't say he said the people, the men. The men kept the good ones. The men kept the good ones. He started to point the blame to the men. But let me tell you something, that sin was not the sin of his men. That sin was the sin of him.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he was the king.
That's right.
And he says, it was the people, it was the men that kept the good ones. It was the men that kept the good ones so that we could sacrifice to your God. He didn't even say my God.
Wow.
He didn't even say our God.
Oh,
Disobedience will carry you far away from God.
Wow.
To the point where you don't even claim God.
Wow.
And here he started to point blame. He started to make excuses. He started to blame others. It was the people. It was the men. They made me do it because I was afraid. We make excuses. We blame others. We blame others. He said the people kept them, not him, knowing full well they were just carrying out his orders as the king. Saul tried to say it was with good intentions, but that was really a lie. He tried to say, we kept them so that we could sacrifice to your God. No, you're keeping them for you. But when you got busted, you had to make an excuse. Remember this, church. A good intention will not justify a bad action. Let me say that again. A good intention will not justify a bad action. He tried to say he had a good intention. I did it because I wanted to sacrifice it to the Lord. No, you should have been obedient.
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't hearing me this morning.
Yeah.
Listen, don't let your sacrifice, because he said he was going to sacrifice it. Don't let your sacrifice be a weak attempt to take away what obedience would have prevented.
Come on now.
Obedience would have prevented.
That's right.
The failed call.
Yeah.
It would have prevented it. You know, a lot of times when we disobey, we try to bring a sacrifice.
That's right.
We try to make an attempt. We try to make an attempt to justify things. We try to make an attempt to make things right by bringing a sacrifice. Listen, he already sacrificed his life for you on the cross.
Right, amen.
You know what the Bible says? When we sin and we disobey God, it's like we put him on the cross again.
Wow.
We put him on the cross. We nail him to the cross again.
Wow.
Listen, I don't want to nail my Jesus back to the cross. I don't want to nail my Savior back to the cross. One time was enough for my sin because his blood has power. Oh, but when I fall back into sin, when I fall back into disobedience, it is like nailing them back to the cross. And it's not your sacrifice, it's his sacrifice. But yeah, we try to bring a sacrifice.
Wow.
Huh? Don't let your sacrifice be a weak attempt to take away what obedience would have prevented.
Wow.
You know, it's easier to bring a sacrifice to the altar than to pull down every high thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God and to be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You don't get that, right? Let me repeat it. It's easy to bring a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Let's let me break it down in layman's terms. It's hard to obey.
That's right.
Yeah. Hello.
It's easier to bring a sacrifice.
That's right.
It's easier to come bring your tithe and bring your offering. It's hard to stay holy.
Amen.
Right.
It's hard to obey God.
Come on now.
Because see, that takes pulling down strongholds.
Yeah.
That takes taking every captive.
Yes.
That means every disobedient thought, you got to rebuke it. You got to pull it down. You got to fight it.
Yes.
That's the hard part.
That's right. Yes.
Huh? But we want the easy part. I'll just bring a good offering.
No, come on.
The pastor would be happy.
Mm.
Huh?
Wow.
No, I'll smell it. It'll smell right.
Come on.
Come on.
It just don't look right. Are you hearing me?
That's right.
Gotta be happy. Listen, sometimes you may fool man, but you can't fool God.
Amen.
You can't fool God. God looks at the hearts.
Yeah.
Fourthly, lastly, this what disobedience does here in this area. Lastly, what disobedience does is not only does it we get busted, and then the other two, I forget, what was it? Disobedience. We forfeit God's favor. We get busted. We make excuses, blame others. Fourthly, we try to justify. We try to justify our sin and disobedience. Well, I had to because I had to hold back the tithe because I needed it to, you know, I needed to put gas in my car to get to work. So I had to hold back the tithe. We try to justify our sin and disobedience. Saul in verse 24, he tries to justify himself. And he says, I did it because I feared the people. In other words, I had a good reason to disobey. There's never a good reason to disobey.
That's right. Yes.
There's never a good reason to disobey.
That's right. Amen.
These are the things that happen when we disobey God. But let me give you real quick 11 things. The piano player can come up so I can give you some hope. I want to give you 11 things real fast. These are the benefits of obedience. The benefits of obedience. 11, real quick. Get my iPad over, please. I didn't number them on my paper. 11 benefits. And I'm going to continue. You can write them down. You can memorize them. You can write them on the tablet of your heart. You can do whatever you want. Amen. But be obedient. The first one. Obedience brings blessings.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Obedience brings blessings. Obedience brings the blessings of God. Huh? You know, by knowing that obedience brings the blessings of God, you should want God to give you a command.
Amen.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Because right.
We want Him to bless us, right?
Yeah.
Well, God bless me, God bless me. That's all your prayer, God bless me, God bless me. Then you should say, God, give me a plan, give me a command so that I can obey it, so that I can get blessed.
Amen. That's good.
If you're obedient, after your obedience comes the blessing. What are some examples of this? Peter. Remember Peter? When he stepped out the boat. Why did he step out the boat? Because Jesus said, come. Jesus gave him the order. Come. Peter was just being obedient. He was just being obedient. That's it. Huh? He was just being obedient. Naaman. Naaman. He had leprosy in the Old Testament. He came to the prophet Elijah. He says, man, I need a healing. Elijah said, go dip yourself in the river 7 times. He could have said, what? They say that was a dirty river. And Naaman was a rich guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He could have said, what, are you crazy? I ain't gonna dip myself in that dirty river. I want a healing. I don't want to get bacteria. Huh? But the Bible says Naaman went and he dipped himself 7 times and he got healed. Obedience.
Yeah.
Obedience. Huh? Joshua and the children of Israel, when they faced Jericho, in the book of Joshua, this is our Bible, you can study it there. God says, I'm going to give you the promised land, but Jericho was part of the promise. And they came to this big city, it was a fortified city, and it had walls all around it. But God says, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you that plunder, I'm giving you those people. God told them, this is what I want you to do. They didn't have weapons. They didn't have weapons. They came out of Egypt. God said, you don't need weapons. What you need to do is you just need to march around it 7 times. March around it. I think there's a different... March around it like 7 days, 1 time each. And the 7th day, march around it 7 times. And Joshua and the children of Israel could have said, God, we're here to take the city, not parade around the city. But the Bible says that when they marched the 7th day, 7 times around Jericho, the walls came tumbling down. Obedience! Obedience brings the blessing of God. What is God telling you to obey Him?
Come on.
Maybe your blessing is blocked by your... I don't want to be a blessing blocker. Oh, come on, somebody. Huh? Some of you are blocking your own blessing. Because God's telling you, go to the home. God's saying, get saved. God's saying, surrender your life to me. God is saying, be obedient. Quit smoking. Quit drinking. Quit drugging. Quit partying. Quit cussing. Quit hitting your old lady. Quit hitting your old man. And it's that disobedience that's blocking the blessing. Obedience brings blessings. Secondly, obedience strengthens and stretches your faith. Huh? That's what it does. Imagine what it did to Peter when he stepped out of the boat. Imagine his faith after when Jesus had come and he stepped out of the boat and he started to walk on water. Yes, he started to sink, but Jesus saved him and he pulled him into the boat. Listen, I believe that Peter was just sitting there amazed. He wasn't amazed that he was dying, that he almost died. He was amazed that he walked on water. He couldn't believe that he had walked on water. Nobody had walked on water before, but Peter walked on water. He's like, I cannot believe I have done what has never been done before. And his faith skyrocketed that day. His faith was stretched that day. His faith grew that day because he was obedient. Sometimes God tells you to flip over a check. Stretch. All of a sudden you're obedient to God, and all of a sudden the blessings of God. And all of a sudden, your faith grows. And you say, I ain't afraid to fill over a check. I'm not afraid to give up a car. I'm not afraid to give big. I'm not afraid to step out in faith. I'm not afraid to step out and do what God called me to do. Because when I did it before, this is what God did. When I did it before, I walked on water. When I did it before, God came through. And so therefore, now my faith is growing from glory to glory, from level to level. Obedience strengthens and stretches your faith. Thirdly, obedience makes you look good. Obedience makes you look good. Huh? That's why that woman married me. That's why I married her. Not, she didn't marry because I had the looks. Come on, somebody. I was a little good looking back then. I was somebody. Huh? But she married me because she seen an obedient man. And I don't say that to toot my own horn. But I was there. What God wanted me to do, I did.
Yeah.
What my pastor wanted me to do, I did.
Right.
What my leaders wanted me to do, I did. And you know, obedience made me look good. I said, man, that's a good-looking, obedient man right there. Hubba, hubba. Come on, somebody. Huh? Obedience makes you happy. Obedience makes you look good. Don't be like that. Have you ever been to the store and you see that rebellious child? Right? Put that back. No, pay for me. Please, put that back. No more. Please get it. They're all throwing a hissy fit, right? Huh? And everybody's just kind of like, that was my kid. I beat that kid. Right? Right? And I mean, babies are cute. Kids are cute, right? But when they're like that, it's like, ay, ay, ay. Huh? Ni lo manda, señor. Right? It's like, man, you know, they don't look cute no more. Why? Because disobedience don't look good on you. But obedience looks good on you. That Run for Hope shirt looks good on you this morning. Right? Huh? Looks good on you. It's obedience. Huh? Obedience. Obedience makes you look good. Obedience makes you happy. Fourthly, obedience makes you happy. You know why it makes you happy? Because a clear conscience makes a soft pillow. You can sleep good at night because you know you're living right. But when you ain't living right, when you're disobeying, come on, somebody. When you know you caught up, when you know you entangled, oh, come on, somebody. Huh? Obedience makes you happy. An obedient man or woman can enjoy life. I often tell, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't just start to like each other. They start to like it. It just happens, man. You know, I mean, look at Irving, look at Josh. They got married. Before, you know, anyways. And that's okay, you know. But they did it right. They did things right, you know. And I tell people, listen, you ain't gotta sneak around.
Right.
Just be accountable.
Yeah.
Be accountable. I guarantee you will have a better time getting to know each other.
Amen.
If you're accountable and you let your leader know what you're doing.
Right.
Because when you don't and you're trying to sneak around the corner, you're sneaking around the church's back, you're sneaking around the pastor, you're sneaking around God's back. Huh? How can you enjoy each other like that? When me and Sylvie went out on dates, man, we're like, man,
we got permission. We got the green lights.
Huh? You got, and Pastor was very clear. Keep your hands to yourself, boy. He's doing it. Keep your hands to yourself. No touchy.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, boss. Huh? Is it easy? No, it's not easy.
Come on.
Do we fall short of the glory? Yes. You know what? You know what? When we first, when we were starting to get close to getting married, it was starting to get hard, man. You know? You know what we did? We grabbed pinkies. Yeah, we didn't hold hands, we grabbed pinkies. I got convicted. I got convicted. I said, oh, Lord. He said, don't touch her. Boy, I'm not going to wait for June 9th. Amen. To marry her. I don't have to grab her pinky no more.
Get over here, woman.
Huh? You know, but we did things right. We did things right.
We didn't, and
you know what? We could enjoy. We were set free. We were happy. Why? Because we're obedient.
Yes.
And you know, this is all singles. Don't think I'm picking on you because this is all singles. But I know certain. No. This is all singles. Singles right. Happens. Huh?
My God. Sometimes I feel like, you know, what do you call, like, you know, remember those date shows back in the day?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's how I feel like. Obedience makes you happy. 5, obedience gives you power. Power. Obedience gives you power. Power over what? Power over sin. Obedience gives you power. You know what kind of power? Obedience gives you power. It gives, you know, when you're obedient, you get authority upon your life.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you walk around with spiritual authority in your life. When you preach, you're able to preach with power and conviction. Why? Because you're living right, and it gives you power to live out and to preach out the word of God. But when you do not, when you're walking in disobedience, you can't preach with power. You can't disciple with power. You can't serve. You can't do ministry with power. Obedience gives you power, power over sin. We see a weak Saul because he disobeyed. At the end, we see a weak Saul. Sixthly, obedience secures your future on this earth and in Christ. That's what it is. It secures your future on this earth and in Christ. When you're obedient, listen, if he would have been obedient, he would have had a secured future as king. But because he became disobedient, he forfeited it. Don't forfeit your future. 7, obedience works for you. Obedience works for you. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Obedience, make it work for you. 8, obedience upholds you. It upholds you. You know what this means? You get to keep the blessing. I want to keep the blessing. I want to keep my wife. I want to keep my calling. I want to keep my church. But I got to remain obedient. I got to remain obedient. This is not just for me. It's for you. It's for both of us. We got to remain obedient. Obedience upholds you. It upholds you. 9, obedience brings honor. I can honor an obedient man. I can honor an obedient woman. I honor my leaders, my pastors, because they were obedient to the heavenly vision like Paul was. 10, obedience brings long life. Long life. Listen to Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Obey them, honor them so that you may live long. And lastly, obedience brings angelic power. I said that right. Obedience brings angelic power. This is what the Lord told me last night. This is what he told me. This is what obedience, the blessings of obedience. I didn't get this in no book, no commentary. This is what the Lord gave me. And he gave me this last one. And I said, God, what does this mean? Obedience brings angelic power. And he took me to Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. It said this about Jacob. It says he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. The angels of God were ascending and descending on it. You know what these angels were doing? They were being obedient. They were being obedient. That's what they were doing. Who are they being obedient to? To God. But in what? In what? In reference to what? In reference to our prayers. When we pray, we begin to give our prayers up to God. Say, God, I need a blessing. God, I need a job. God, I need favor at my job. God hears those prayers. He says, did you hear that? Gabriel, Michael, it's your turn. Take down that answered prayer. Take down that blessing. I'm putting you in charge of Francisco's prayer. I'm putting you in charge of Sylvia's prayer request. I'm putting you in charge of Joshua's prayer request. I'm putting you in charge of Urban's prayer request. It is your mission to go answer that prayer. It is your mission. So therefore, you go down those stairs from heaven down to the earth. You go down those stairs, and your mission is to answer that prayer. And they go down, and they fulfill the mission. That's why you get a raise. That's why you get favor. That's why you get blessed. Because God answered your prayer. Because you got favor upon your life. But it's also because there was an angel that was over. Obedient. There was an angel that was obedient to the Father. There was an angel that was obedient to God. There was an angel that was obedient to the voice of the Father. And that angel operated in obedience. And I'm here to tell you, the same power that that angel has when he obeys God is the same power that you have when you obey God. You begin to walk in angelic power. You begin to walk in the supernatural when you obey. You don't walk in power just when you pray. You walk in power when you obey. Twitter that, Facebook that. When you pray, you walk in power. But when you obey, you walk in double power, because you're walking in angelic power. Stand on your feet here this morning. If you want to feel the power of God, I want you to come to this altar. Be obedient. Don't stay in your seat, because God has a blessing for you. God has a blessing for you. Touch God here this morning. Receive that power. There's benefits in obedience. Tell them you're calling. Answer the call of God. Answer the call of God. Be obedient.